Election integrity is the bedrock of our constitutional republic. If we can't trust our voting, how can we long continue as a nation under the rule of law? Brent Kylan is with the Family Research Council, serving as the vice president of FRC Action. He's well-versed on just about everything election-related with the latest polls, the races around the country, etc. Brent Kylan now joins us on Vocal Point to discuss election integrity and especially how Christians can properly engage, even when some alarmists ask, well, why bother when there's so much corruption at the polls? Welcome to Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Brent Kylan, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Jerry, good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, sure. Okay, first of all, is there a problem of voter integrity or election integrity today in America?
You know, Jerry, I think it's absolutely critical that our elections are secure. So we've seen issues that have come up over the past few years that I think are important to make sure they're addressed. I will also say, you know, this is not the issue. Has gotten a lot more attention over the last couple of years, but it's not just been, you know, something that's been important or that people have started working on over the last couple of years. This has been something that we have had to work on, you know, going back for a long time, because it is just so important that people's votes are being counted and being counted correctly. And so I do think this is a very important issue, you know, so that voters can have that security as they go to the ballot box.
Do you think that the issue of ballot harvesting is something we should all be, you know, concerned about? For example, somewhere I read that during the 2020 election, so that's a major, major election. About a third of the ballots cast were cast by mail. That's quite concerning. Now, part of it is because, you know, the COVID crisis occurred, and I can't help but think of the mantra of the left, you know, never let a crisis go to waste.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, Jerry, we saw some unprecedented changes in 2020, and just like you said, in the name of COVID, there is a massive effort to expand a number of means of voting, including the mail-in in voting. We also saw turnout go up by a significant margin if you compare 2020 numbers to 2016 numbers. And I do think, you know, as you're looking at this, when you're talking about ballot harvesting, when you're talking about mail-in ballots, in a number of other issues, to me, I think the main question is, are we able to verify that the appropriate person is voting, is casting that ballot? Are there the appropriate safeguards in place, and are we able to count that correctly? And I think if you're going to look at doing this sort of thing, we want it to be easy to vote, but we want it to be hard to cheat, right? That's the big thing. So as we're looking at an issue like that, I think that's the big question that states and localities have to make sure they're answering.
Now, one of the biggest concerns that I've seen, especially since the 2020 election, and a lot of people feeling like, okay, there was a lot of monkey business there, it just wasn't fair, why bother? So in other words, there's a sense of apathy that's begun to take hold among many conservatives and among many Christians, and I just think that's fundamentally wrong, but I want you to address that issue.
Yeah.
So what would people say, you know, what would you say to the people who say, well, why bother when there is corruption?
Absolutely, Jerry. And you are exactly right. We have to keep voting. But before I get into addressing that question specifically, I think there's a little background here to lay the foundation for what I would say to that. And there's a couple points that I think that tie into this. One is what we've seen the states do since 2020, there's actually been a lot of very positive action that hasn't gotten a lot of attention. So I'll dive into a couple numbers on that in a second here. But the other thing is some very interesting things that we saw happen in Virginia just last year that I think can serve as kind of a model for us, you know, and something we can draw some encouragement from and also replicate in other states. But first, at the state level, you know, various concerns surfaced a year and a half ago or so, you know, and different things depending on the state. But what a lot of people aren't aware of is that the state legislative bodies, there has been a huge movement to start addressing some of these issues and some of these vulnerabilities that people talked about. Here's a couple numbers on that. Over the last year and a half, there have been at least 450 bills introduced in 49 states to strengthen election integrity at the state level.
That's good.
That's a massive number, right? And it's not just that these are getting introduced. They're actually a lot of them are becoming law. We know that over 40 of those have become law over the last year and a half to strengthen election integrity. And then these are, you know, in just deep red states or anything like that. There, a lot of these are also, and election integrity is important everywhere, you know, regardless of where you live. But a lot of these are in key states, including Georgia, you know, Florida, Texas, Arizona. Those are just a few of the states that have actually passed meaningful election integrity legislation, you know, to address some of these concerns over the last year and a half. So I think that we need to be encouraged by the fact that a lot of state legislators have taken the concern seriously and are saying, hey, we want to make sure the state's elections here in our state are secure. So that's one point. The other thing is what we saw happening in Virginia last year. And, you know, Virginia was the most closely watched state in the nation last fall. You know, there were several states that had elections, but Virginia was really kind of the one competitive state with huge statewide races. Millions of dollars was poured into that race, tons and tons and tons of media coverage. But one of the stories that didn't get as much attention in Virginia was the number of poll watchers that said, you know what, we need to make sure Virginia's elections are secure. So they got trained. They showed up at the polls. It was definitely hundreds and hundreds. It may have been thousands and thousands, all across the state, and not just for Election Day. Virginia has actually a very extensive early voting period that starts in mid-September. From the first day of early voting, you know, they're in person to Election Day, these people were showing up just to make sure, you know, that things were getting done correctly and watching. And Jerry, when we had the results come out in early November, we didn't see any of these concerns. You know, a lot of the concerns about various aspects of election integrity and things like that, that was really a non-factor in Virginia. And I think people can be encouraged by that too. You know, when we are doing our part in the process, there's a lot of folks now duplicating that in other key states around the nation in 2022 here. Those are, I think, positive steps, that we can learn from.
So the good news is that a lot of changes have happened since November 2020. By the way, somewhere I heard from a colleague that Governor Youngkin, then candidate Youngkin, even paid for his own video cameras at the different poll boxes or whatever to make sure there would be no monkey business.
You know, and I'm not sure, but that could be. That could be. Whatever happened, we know that it really, again, we just didn't see these types of concerns come up in Virginia. So, yes, to your point, a lot has happened that's encouraging that people aren't aware of. It hasn't got as much news coverage, unfortunately. But the other thing I would say, Jerry, is I do think you bring up a really, really good question. For folks that are like, you know, I just don't know anymore. I don't know if it's worth it to show up to the polls and vote. You know, I would say this. We have to remember that if we don't vote, we are self-censoring. And if we self-censor, the other side wins by default. The side that opposes the values that you and I care for, if we're not voting, they don't have to do anything at all. And so that's definitely not the answer. We still absolutely have to get out and vote. Where, you know, I believe, you know, as a Christian that I'm accountable for my vote and I have to do it for that reason. But I also believe that my vote still makes an impact. I've followed, you know, in my job here, hundreds and hundreds of races over the last year and a half, you know, state level, federal level, local level. And there are a number of good people who have been elected because people have continued to show up and vote. You look at, you know, what's happening at the school board level, and that's gotten so much attention, as it should, over the last year and a half. But we have seen a movement perhaps unlike any other, with good candidates getting swept into office at the school board level. At least I never remember, you know, an effort with this much momentum. But the reason those good candidates at the school board level are there now is because people, good people, have continued to vote and they haven't stayed home. And I just think it's so important going into this year, going into this fall, even looking years ahead. You know, we have to keep making sure that our voice is heard at the ballot box.
Excellent. Okay, we have about 2.5 minutes left. Let me ask you, as far as Christian voters are concerned, how big is the Christian voting bloc? Now, obviously, there are millions and millions of Americans who claim to be Christian, but as far as the evangelical church, maybe it's about a third of the population that claim to be evangelical. That doesn't mean they all vote, but what are your numbers as far as how are we big? How big are we as a voting bloc? And let's add the evangelical type Catholics, or the, you know, the pro-life Catholics, let's say.
Yes. Well, Jerry, you're exactly right. It does depend on how you measure it, Christian versus evangelical. But I think a third is a good number. Sometimes it's upward 20s, you know, percentage wise. Sometimes it's about a third, again, depending on how you're asking the question there. You know, anywhere in there. That is a huge, huge number of voters. And we know, you know, and the stats vary also based off of election turnout, you know, ebbs and flows by year. But we know there are tens of millions of people who are Christians who say, you know, my faith is important to me, who are not showing up at the polls. And a lot of those are actually registered to vote already.
Really? Even now? I mean, tens of – I mean, I know that, you know, maybe – 20 years ago, people would say that there were tens of millions of Christians not voting that could have voted. We have about a minute left. I'm amazed that that's still the case.
It is. And again, it ebbs and flows slightly by the election cycle, but it's still numbers that high right now, which just I think is just a reminder. We have to keep doing this, keep reminding our friends and our neighbors how much of an impact we could have if we're voting our values every year.
Do you think that if Christians showed up and voted their values, we would make a difference in virtually every election?
No doubt. No doubt, Jerry. So many races decided by small margins. The number of people that are showing up to the polls. You just look at a whole host of stats. And if we were consistently voting in every election, the change in public policy and the results would be absolutely enormous. No question about it.
Wow, that's a very interesting point, because then it really means that part of the reason the country's in such a bad shape right now is because a lot of Christians aren't showing up in the polls. FRCAction.org. We still have 15 seconds for a closing thought from you, Brent Kylan of FRC Action.
I would just say this along this theme, every vote really does matter. And, you know, regardless of what type of a district you live in or what type of a state, I would just say we are seeing even now, lots of close races even. So just encourage everybody, make sure your voice is heard, because it really is making a difference right now.
Brent Kyland of FRC Action, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Jerry, appreciate it. Thank you.